So we're going to read from Acts chapter 16 and verses 6 to 15. Acts chapter 16. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there, we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts today to respond to the message that you have for us through this passage. And we pray, Lord, that right now you would anoint Chris to open it up to us. Give us ears to hear, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. What an amazing service we're having so far. I've just had this picture in my mind of, I don't always get pictures, but this morning I just had this picture all the way through of, do you remember during the Prohibition era when they wanted to get rid of the alcohol, they used to smash the barrels? Yeah, I know you weren't around during the Prohibition era, but for those of us that were, no. And I felt like in heaven that the angels are smashing the barrels of anointing oil and pouring it out over us. So if that's for you this morning, just to know that the anointing of God, it's not just a little mark on your forehead, a little splash. It's a barrel full being poured out over us. Shall we stop there? We're studying Acts because we want to learn how to be a spirit-filled church. You know, many churches will say, we want to be more like the New Testament church, like the church of Acts. But they don't get beyond Acts 2. They like Acts 2. Pentecost, fellowshipping together, Holy Spirit being poured out. But there's a lot more to Acts. There's so much more in this book. So we're digging a bit deeper, trying to learn how we can be a spirit-filled church. Now, for those who've not been here for the whole series, I do a bit of a recap. So it's sort of like, previously on Acts, the spirit-filled church. 3 weeks ago, we heard about a letter that was written and sent from Jerusalem to reassure the Gentile believers that they were saved by grace, not by following the law of Moses. And as the letter was accompanied by Judas and Silas, they brought an encouraging message to strengthen the believers. At the end of that passage, we left the church in good spirits, with getting the result that they wanted, that they could just worship God through grace. And they had Paul and Barnabas and many others teaching in the church in Antioch. Then sometime later, Paul goes to Barnabas and suggests that it's time to go back and visit the churches that the Spirit had planted through them on their first missionary journey. And we heard that this led to a dispute between Paul and Barnabas over whether to take John Mark, because he deserted them on that first trip. And that dispute led to Barnabas and Mark heading back to Cyprus, sailing off back to Cyprus, which was the route they went on the first missionary journey. So they're retracing the steps that direction. And to Paul and Silas, taking a different route, heading north and then west towards Cilicia. We heard how Paul met Timothy in Lystra. And the three of them then continue on going through those different churches that they visited in their first missionary journey. So the only church remaining, I mean, I would do a pop quiz, but it is quite a difficult question. Anybody remember what's the one that's missing? No, it's Perga. They went round this way the first time, didn't they? Up round that way. So there's a little place down here somewhere, I can't remember exactly where, called Perga. So there's just Perga remaining, having visited all of those other places. And that's in the Roman province of Asia. Now, very confusingly, to a bear of little brain, Roman Asia was nowhere near what we call Asia. It was Turkey, southwest Turkey. So Perga was in the Roman province of Asia. So in our reading, we heard that the Spirit kept them from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So they can't go to Perga. They're heading towards Perga, but the Holy Spirit prevents them from going there. So instead, they turn north, and north is towards Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus will not allow them to. Are you hearing this? This is interesting, isn't it? Spirit won't let them go and preach the gospel in Asia. Now he's preventing them from going the other way, to Bithynia. I've described it as like a sheepdog directing sheep into a pen. The Spirit blocks off all roads but one. You have only one choice. To Troas. They've got to go to Troas. That's the only route left to them. So on they trudge to Troas. Now, Paul's dramatic vision here distracts you from something really important. Now, look, the vision's important. But honestly, the other thing that happens here is important, and you have missed it. I'm almost sure you've missed it. Let me ask you in this form, and if you know the answer because I've told you already, don't spoil it. There's a little riddle here. Who did Paul meet in Troas? From the reading, plain as day there, who did Paul meet in Troas? Ah, do you see? I told you. There is a wee clue. A wee clue. They arrived in Troas. We left Troas. Ah. Who's writing this book?
Luke.
Wow. I mean, if Luke was a social media influencer, this chapter would be all about how he met Paul. Instead, he says, they arrived, we left. But wow, just think about the fact that all of these closed doors, the argument with Barnabas, the different routes they tried to go and forced not to, they've ended up at Troas at exactly the right time to meet a man called Luke, who is writing this book and wrote a gospel. How amazing is that? That in order to meet that man at the right place at the right time, the Spirit closed the door to Asia, closed the door to Bithynia, just so they meet Luke. Now, do you agree that that's probably even more significant than this vision? Well, maybe equally significant. But what a thing that's happened there. All the frustrations, everything has led them to this point at this time. So the companions, the we, are now going off script. This was not the plan. They headed off to revisit the churches that they planted on the first missionary journey. That was the plan they'd agreed with the church in Antioch. The Spirit had other ideas. They've ended up in Troas, they met Luke, and now that Paul's had this vision, they've been called to go to Macedonia. They've interpreted that vision to mean we should go and preach the gospel in Macedonia. So off they set. They crossed the Aegean Sea. And if you can imagine the map in your mind, this is really important because they crossed the Aegean Sea from what we would now call Asia Minor to Europe. Yeah, so not they've been in Asia, the provinces of Asia, and now they're crossing over into Europe. And this is the first time that the gospel is reaching into Europe. At least Paul is taking the gospel into Europe. So that's quite significant, isn't it? Neapolis was an important Roman crossroads, and then Philippi was a major Roman colony in the province of Macedonia. It's considered to be the birthplace of Christianity in Europe. Wow. Burwell Baptist Church, we wouldn't be here today if Paul and Luke and Timothy and Silas hadn't been shepherded across Troas to Macedonia. And then through person after person after person, it's come to Ken. It's come to me. It's come to you. The gospel has been passed on because of that shepherding of the Spirit. It's quite a significant ad lib, isn't it? Quite significant going away from the plan that they set out to do. I don't know what you think at Youth for Christ. You've got a plan. You've got a purpose. You've got these things that you've got sorted out for the year. But maybe the Spirit's got a different route. And maybe a door will close and a different door will open. And you've got to be open to that, even though you might have to explain it when you go back. How come you ended up going to Macedonia? That wasn't the plan. Okay, a little detour here. I just want to really emphasize there are no visions that guided their journey to Troas. Just that calling across to Macedonia. And no visions when they arrive in Macedonia. They stay in Philippi for several days, we're told. And then, because there was no synagogue in Philippi, they went to where they expected to find a place of prayer by the Gangites River. So they went because they expected to find people praying by the river. Why did they expect that? Well, it was common practice for Jews to pray near water, because they needed water for ritual cleansing purposes. So Paul used his educated common sense, his knowledge of his Jewish fellow ethnic group. Where will I find them on the Sabbath? They haven't got a synagogue, where will they be? They'll be down by the river. No vision, no word from God. He just used his common sense, and he went where he expected to find people worshipping. Why was there no synagogue in Philippi? Well, the clue is that Philippi was a Roman colony. Now, colonies were different. Colonies were places that were settled by veterans of the Roman army. The Roman Empire was built on violence, on shedding people's blood. And the weapon that they used was the legions. And the legions were recruited not just from Rome or the Roman Peninsula, but from the whole empire. And if you managed to survive, and a few did, to the end, you retired, and the promise was this: you will be given land. So you will become a landowner in the Empire of Rome. And when they did this, they didn't give bits of Rome, they gave a bit of the empire that they conquered to the soldiers. So the soldiers were given a place where they could make money for the rest of their retirement. And Philippi was one of those. So it would be packed with Roman veterans. Now, there's one very important thing that you probably already know. The Jews could not serve in the Roman army. The Romans found out very early on, there's no point trying to get a Jew into the Roman army because they will not fight on the Sabbath. Soldiers that won't fight on a Sabbath are no use to us. They would rather die than fight on the Sabbath, so they were exempt from Roman duty. So Philippi would have very few Jews because it was a Roman colony. Those who were there very well might not have been allowed to worship openly because they might be seen to be bringing bad luck on the colony. So they would be excluded from having a synagogue. So that's my little detour. You can wake up again now. Back to the main story. The church in Europe is born when Lydia opened her heart and then her home to the gospel. Let me just stress that again. The church in Europe started with a woman. I got 50% of you on my side already. Well, a lot of the men will probably agree with me. Where did we lose that? It started with a woman. The first church building was her home. When Paul wrote a letter to the Philippians, who's he writing to? Lydia and her household. So this is the church in Europe that started with a woman and started in a woman's home. She was baptized when she believed and became not just somebody that worshipped God, but a believer. She opened her heart to the truth and good news of Jesus. So that's wonderful things. How do we apply it for ourselves? Because you don't just go home with a wonderful history lesson. You want to go home with something that we can apply to our own lives. Well, firstly, the Spirit also guides by closing doors. I don't know if you ever have this experience, but some Christians give the impression that their life is a continual succession of God giving them blessings. Clear guidance, open doors, everything always goes from one victory to the next. Anybody have conversations with Christians like that? That is not scriptural. That is not how it was in the book of Acts. And it's not how it is in my life. Very occasionally, I get a clear prophetic word from God saying, do this. Much, much more often, I get a general impression that this might be the right thing to do, or a disquiet in my spirit making me think, I don't know why, but I don't think that is right. Anybody else guided more often like that? Well, that then is probably the normal Christian life. This is our experience of God and the Spirit. And this was the experience in Acts. Doors closing, frustration, not being allowed to do what they'd set out and planned to do. I often go where I expect God to be at work. Whether that's cooking together at home, or it's reflections, or in response to a pastoral need. There's no need for a dramatic spiritual revelation to say, go to cooking together at home this week. It's in the diary. I expect God to be working there. And I turn up because I expect that's where God wants me. And that's what Paul did as well. He went where he expected to find people that needed to know about Jesus. It resulted in being at the right place at the right time. We might think back to John Mark. We might think about Timothy. And now we've had Luke and Lydia. Right place at the right time. I've told this story before to some of you, but it is so pertinent to this, I wanted to share it again. Because it's so parallel to what happened to Paul, and it's 21st century, so it makes it up to date. A couple of years ago, on my birthday, I had an experience that was very much like Paul in this passage. Lynn and I went for a drive to go for a walk somewhere. And I remember my birthday's in February. Okay, It's usually really nice weather on my birthday. It was this year. So we went to drive for a walk. I set off to one place, but when we arrived there, it was still raining. So we thought, well, we'll divert somewhere else. We'll keep driving somewhere else. I think there was a diversion, so we were prevented from going there. So we went to another place. We arrived, the sun came out, so we got out and we started a walk. We got about 200 yards and it started raining. It's a bit of a pattern here, isn't there? So we went back to the car and we said, oh, let's go to that parish church we passed. So I drove back to the parish church and we went to go and have a look round. It may surprise you to know that I don't spend my days off generally visiting church buildings. That's not generally what we do. But we went to this little parish church in the village we'd ended up in. I have never been there before. I've never been there since. We were now 10 miles off where we set off to. Quite a significant detour. We were in there for 10 minutes. At the precise moment that we were in there for that 10 minutes, somebody walked in who was exploring worshipping here. After doing a couple of double takes, we recognized each other. They'd arrived by an seemingly equally random number of steps that meant that they turned up at that precise moment that I and Lynn were in the building. Now, I just want to tell you, he had studiously avoided telling me where they lived when they visited us. He very carefully didn't mention general terms, but wasn't specific about the village. So I was not stalking him, just in case you're worried. It was not what I planned. But in theory, at least, every day I offer my day to the Lord and say, wherever you want me to be, that's where I want to be. And this day, God got me to that church at that moment to meet Dave. Dave and Sally are now part of our fellowship, and Dave leads us in our worship. How glad am I that the Spirit shepherded us to that church in that tiny little village in that 10-minute period. I don't often have experiences like that, but that was so amazing that it really was a double, triple take and an open mouth, wow. So the Spirit still does that sort of thing today, and we need to be aware of that. We were thinking in life group on Thursday about the sort of more mundane ways that the Spirit leads us, and we just end up in the right place at the right time to meet the right people. And I was saying how this week I'd gone to look at a free item on Facebook. It was an office chair. I got there, the chair was no good. But I met somebody on the way to look at the chair who occasionally worships with us in the evening. I was able to encourage them to come. Do you think God might have got me to look at the chair because he wanted me to meet that person? Because I didn't get the chair, but I did have that conversation. Be open to what the Spirit's doing. So I want you to respond to this now, and I want you to respond in a couple of ways. First of all, I want you to think about the apparent blockages or difficulties in your past. The things that perhaps you wanted to serve the Lord in a particular way, but you felt blocked. You weren't able to use your gifts. I just want you to take a moment to thank God for restraining you, for not allowing you to go in that direction. Just as he closed doors for Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, thank God that he preserved you by closing that door, because you do not want to go to serve the Lord without the Lord's anointing. Now let's bring it right up to date. Think about the apparent blockages or difficulties in your life at the moment. Anybody not got any blockages or difficulties? No, okay, well, so we're all in the same boat. So just think about those apparent blockages and difficulties in your life. It might be health issues, it might be mental health issues, it might be relations, it might be practical circumstances, it might be spiritual things that are going on. Anything that seems to be a blockage to what you feel God wants to do. So I want you to be brave and ask God to reveal if he wants you to try a different way. So let's just pray. We do ask for that, Holy Spirit. We ask that instead of just fighting against these blockages, these closed doors, we just want to be open to you telling us to take a different way. Help us to hear your gentle whispers, we pray. Maybe that the Lord's already put something in your heart to do. I've written a prayer, unusually for me, I've written a prayer. Lord Jesus, we are humbled and encouraged by the story of Paul and Silas. We see your clear guidance expressed by closed doors, restraining and preventing, as much as in the power of your Spirit to open doors where we least expect. Thank you that they arrived in the right place at the right time to receive their powerful prophetic calling through sensitivity to your gentle whispers. Forgive us for the times we've given up too soon or lost faith in your promises when the going got tough, or what seemed like the most direct path was closed to us. Forgive us for the times we've ignored the restraining of your Spirit and continued to press on with our own plans instead of yours. We ask you for perseverance when our way seems blocked and we're prone to feel frustration and despair. We pray for the courage to discern your voice above our own plans, to hear you in the no as well as the yes, to be obedient to the guidance of the inner disquiet of the Spirit as well as to dramatic visions, to go where we expect you to be, and be prepared to encounter you in unexpected places. O Lord, you go before us to part seas, level the mountains, break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. You give us hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that we may know that you are the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons us each by name. Amen.